And tonight we will continue our Wednesday night series, My Life is Your Life. And tonight we'll, My Life, His Life. And tonight we'll talk about sharing your story. We all have a story, right? Yes. Many stories of a lot of us. Do you remember that day when you said, Lord, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you are my Lord and Savior? You remember that day? That's when everything started for all of us, when a new life started. That's when we all got our assignment. You see, that day you sign up, we all sign up for an assignment, for a lifelong assignment. I remember that day, it was 1990. I'm not going to tell you how old I was, because and then you'll figure it out. And it was in Redwood City, California, the Bay Area, between San Francisco and San Jose. That's where Jessica was born, in San Francisco. And I met this kid back then in an English school. You know, I came from Chile in 1990. And so I started going to school, ESL, to learn English. You know, let me be honest with you. When I was in high school in Chile, I used to hate English. It was so hard. So I took French. It's a lot easier to learn French from Spanish than English. So I don't remember anything anyways, but I know a song that it says, Tia vena penkin san de chubé porte de rivian. So my kids think that I speak French, but I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm talking in French, right? So that's what you can do with your kids when they're little. So this guy, his name was Jaime, and he's from Peru. And one of those nights at school, he said, hey, do you want to go to church with me? And I said, I don't know. You know, after a few months in the States by myself, you get homesick. And I say, okay, let's go to church. You know, God always has a perfect plan for us, right? It doesn't matter where you go, if you're in Chile, if you're in Australia or the United States, God always has a plan. So I end up going to church on a Sunday morning, and that was the last time I was lost. You know, a lot of people have those very, I don't want to say dramatic, but those cool testimonies, right? When, you know, God took me out of, I don't know, something very dramatic, and you hear, you know, you listen to these testimonies and you get all excited. Well, mine, it's not like that. It's not one of those very exciting testimonies. He just got me out of ignorance because I didn't know. I grew up in Chile, Catholic. I did my first communion. I did my confirmation. And I remember going to Mass every Sunday. But it was a social thing. That's it. There wasn't a relationship with Christ. It was the thing to do. We went to church, to Mass. We sat down for an hour. It was always the same thing, and I knew by the time we were getting the Lord's Supper, it was the Mass was going to finish, and we were going to go home to watch soccer. So, seriously, in Chile, Chile is a very Catholic country, so most of the people do that. This is just a social thing. They just go to church. They know there's a God. They know, but they see God over there, you know? As long as God doesn't get in their way, everything is okay. They feel that God is very permissible. Of course, right? Under God's permissible will, we can get in trouble all the time. But he wants us to be in his perfect will. So I accepted Christ on October 5th, 1990, in this little laundry room at an apartment complex with this church, where this church had their youth meeting. So it was awesome. It was a new experience. I didn't know what I was feeling, you know, the first love. So I started walking with Christ. Then back in 1995, by 91, 92, I met Jessica. She was singing at a church. I learned how to play guitar at church. So now I was part of the worship band, you know. When you're young and you're part of single and part of the worship band, you get a different status with the young people at church. Seriously, ask any musician. So So we went to a concert. You know, we got together in San Francisco area with other churches, and there I was playing guitar, and there was Jessica singing. So at the beginning, it wasn't like, you know, making eye contact. Actually, first I met her father. You know, he was a deacon of the First Baptist Church of San Francisco for many years. And the first time I met him, he gave me a hug. And it was a very fatherly hug. So God was preparing all this. And just the way he hugged me, I knew there was something special about that guy. And then months later, I found out that it was her dad. And then her mom was looking at me with those eyes that mom look at guys when they're looking at the girl. That's it. So we started dating in 93. We married in 95. And we've been married for 23 years. And God is being good. So that's part of my story. But the real story that I want to share with you today is that the one I just said. You know, we all get an assignment as Christ followers. Please go with me to Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. And it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. See, we all got the same assignment. When you said, Lord, here I am, here's my heart, you sign up for that assignment for the rest of your life. To go and make disciples and teach them and baptize them in the name of the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. So everything we do, guys, everything, church, all the programming, all the campaigns we see, this great campaign right now with Multiply, is just so we can do this, so we can go, so we can make disciples, so we can share the good news, so people can come to an understanding about their sinful nature, and they can say, God, here I am. Jesus, please change my life. So that's our assignment as a family. And then why do I need to share my story? Go to Acts 1:8 with me, please. Or you can read it with us behind me. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Remember that day when you made that decision? The Holy Spirit came upon you. And we were new creatures. That's what the apostle says. And that's why so many people call this the inner voice. You know, from that day on, something is talking to you. And it's the Holy Spirit. And it's saying, Julian, no, not that. But sometimes we don't listen, most of the time. And we try to avoid, and we know it as, that is the Holy Spirit talking to us, and we just say, okay, hold on, just give me a minute. And we get in trouble. But it says, has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So this is our Jerusalem. This is home. This is where we are. But also, he said, you need to go to Judea and Samaria. Well, right now, Chile is my Jerusalem. But at one point, this was my Jerusalem, and I went all the way over there. And you're about to see, and I'm about to share with you what God is doing with our assignment. Because you're part of the assignment, and you're part of my story. The same way I am part of your story. About 6 years ago, Jessica was working in the missions department with Miss Leslie Armour. We love her, right? She's the best mission minister ever. So we love Leslie. I know she's not here, but please let her know that I said that. So Jessica was working in the mission department, and she, one day she said, Julian, you're from Chile, right? I said, yeah, why don't you guys go on a mission trip to Chile? Okay, until that point, honestly, to me, this is home. You know, I became an American. After so many years, I was 19 years old when I came here. I became an American. I learned the language. I embraced the culture. So it wasn't in my plans or in our plans to go back to Chile to live. We used to go on vacation. But then when I was in Chile a couple of times, I was looking for myself in Chile, trying to find myself in Chile, but I couldn't. I was trying to imagine myself in Chile and doing something, but I couldn't. So it was not part of our plan to go back to Chile. But guess what? It took one exploratory mission trip for God to say, you're coming back to Chile. So I got back to Houston, and I was thinking, no, this is just something emotional. After 2 months, this is going to go away. So just let's leave it at that. But 2 months went by, and it was still here. So I spoke to Leslie. I said, Leslie, this is what's going on. And she goes, awesome. You know, she gets very excited. And let's pray. And we started praying. Then one day I was supposed to play racquetball with Luis Miori, Pastor Luis Miori. For some reason, we couldn't play, so we ended up having lunch. And I shared that with Pastor Luis Miori. I said, you know, Pastor, this is what's going on. And he goes, awesome, let's pray. So to see how God started to adding people to my story, and now it wasn't only my story, it started to be our story. And then I told Jeff, when we were part of the student ministry, I was one of the student pastors, and Jeff was heading that department back then. And Jeff said, let's pray. There you go. You see, there's something going on when they're praying. You know that. So we started praying, and then I called the IMB guy that I met in Chile on the first trip, and I said, Cliff Case, he's the hardest working missionary I ever met. Cliff Case, he's a member of our church right now over there, part of our directory. And I called him, and I was very excited. I said, Cliff, you know what? This is what I'm feeling. And he goes, awesome, let's pray. See, I wanted to go a little bit faster than awesome, let's pray. So then a year went by, and I was feeling the same way. But guess what? I have a wife. And if you're a married man, you know what that means, right? You need to ask your wife, right? Because when you marry, it was like this. But when you marry, now it's like this. So if God is speaking to me, that means that he's speaking to her too. So Leslie said, you know what? Why don't you go with Jessica this time? We took a team to Chile, and we went to Chile. And guess what? God spoke to Jessica. That was September of 2013. We came back. By this time, the mission committee knew about it. Pastor Fleming knew about it. I'm sure Pastor Chalmers knew about it. And one time we went out to lunch with Pastor Fleming. A little bit of part of the original plan of what we were going to do in Chile, something happened and things were a little bit unclear with the people that we were going to work over there. But Dr. Fleming said, Julian, do you have a call to go to Chile? And I said, yeah, Pastor. Okay, go. You know, he said, listen, you, where there's vision, there's opposition. And especially within your people over there. So just be faithful to the vision that God put in your heart. So that was October 2013. April 2014 came by, and we were on our way to Chile. So it was very fast, even though I thought it wasn't too fast, but it was very fast. And here we were in Chile. So sharing my story now is not only my story, but it's the story of a few of us. And now your story, because when we came and we shared our calling with Leslie, with Pastor Miori, with Jeff, with Pastor David, the missions committee, and then you got involved. And then you're part of this story. So it's not only us. So today I'm not sharing only my story, but I'm sharing our story because you're there with us. Because you're a member of this church. Because you're faithful. Because you compromise with God to what God is doing here with our church. With the direction of our senior pastor and You know, he's a very faithful man. I met him about 10 years ago, 8 years ago, and he's very clear where we're going. And I love the relationship that he has with Pastor Trammell. I love to see them work together. And they're very sure, I'm sure, about after prayers, where we're going. And one time I sent a text message to Pastor David. I said, Pastor David, I just want to thank the Lord to put in your heart to trust us with us being in Chile. Because he needed to ask God first. You guys needed to ask God first. And the mission committee needed to ask God first for this to move on, right? That's the way it works. So please go with me to Romans. There it goes. 10, chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. And saying, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? See, that God was speaking to me. So Chile has a population of 17 million people. Very small. It's a long country. I think the widest part of Chile, it's about 90 miles, I think. I'm sorry. So Chile is divided in regions, and instead of states, regions, from the first region to the 12th region, and in between the 5th and the 6th region, we have Santiago, which is the capital of Chile. So in Santiago, you have a population of 8 million people, which is 47% of the total population of Chile. So it's very tight. A lot of buildings, underground train, people running up and down. It's a very New York feeling with people's attitude. So it's Southern hospitality. We don't have it over there. That's one of the things that we miss the most with Jessica. Just, hey, how you doing? Supermarket, you don't even know someone, and you just said hi. And just a simple smile, it will brighten your day, right? Well, you don't get that a whole lot in Chile, all right? So if you go on a mission trip in the future, just remember that, okay? So Santiago, this is the state, you know, the metropolitan region, is divided in comunas. Let's call it districts, okay? Or what do you call it here? Counties. There you go. Thank you. And counties. And then counties are divided in... it's counties. So Santiago is divided in comunas. We can call it counties. And so there's about 52 comunas, and we are in La Comuna, the district of Lo Barnechea, which is it's on the skirt of the Andes Mountains, about 1,000 meters. So it's very cold. Today it's about 24 degrees. So I'm loving the weather here. So within this comuna, this county, there's a neighborhood of about 70,000 people called La Dehesa, all right? La Dehesa is known as one of Chile's most affluent neighborhoods, and less than 1% of the people in this neighborhood are Christian evangelical believers. Santiago has less than 15%. I mean, less than 3%. The country has less than 15%, and this little place where we are, it has less than 1% of Christian evangelicals. So imagine 70,000 people. There's very nice, about 4 or 5 Catholic churches. They're big, nice, you know, full of people on Sunday morning, but they're not getting it, right? So when we drive through, we see potential. You see, we see potential going in and out. We see they will come here one day, so we just need to keep pushing, right? Of course. So, but until now, because that's when Comunidad Cristiana La Dehesa was born. On August 23rd of 2015, we had our first worship service in the living room of our house. After, of course, moving into this neighborhood where trying to meet the neighbors, it was a challenge. You know, now they try to hide from me because I'm always trying to talk to them. I said, and they just saw from far, and you know. So at the beginning, when I met this guy, especially the guy next to me, Gerardo from Colombia, and we introduced ourselves, and he said, "Hi, how you doing? Good to, you know, it's good that you guys are here. I heard your kids speaking in English." I said, "Yeah, you know, we come from Texas." And he goes, "Oh, that's interesting. So what do you do?" So I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." And he was like, "What?" Listen, in that part of town, people has the perception that the Christian Evangelical Church is the church of the poor. So that guy was saying, "What is an evangelical pastor doing here?" I'm thinking it was going through his mind, "Dude, you should be in the other side of town." Many pastors from our convention, from our Baptist convention in Chile, they said, "Why don't you go to the other side of town? There's more need over there." I said, "No. Maybe these people, they have everything financially, you know, with the money, what they can buy, but they're lost. Their spiritual lives are down the drain. The divorces, relationship with their kids. When Christ is not around, you know what happened." So here we are living in La Dehesa. This is our living room. We start Bible studies at the beginning, right, and talking to the neighborhood. So that day we have a few people. My little Sarah, she was our media director, you know, doing the PowerPoint. She was so excited about that. Then on August 23rd, 2015, a couple of months later, we rented the cafeteria at a school, a British school, Craig House School. And that's where you see those green chairs. So we needed to come in the morning. The same thing Pastor Trammell has been doing for the past 6 years. I remember one of those times I sent you a message about the portable church, and you understand why now. And so, you know, we have this place. Now, this place, it's in the middle of nowhere. It's up in the mountains. There's no neighborhoods around. But it was a school that opened the doors for us because hotels or other institutes, nobody wanted to rent a space for a Christian evangelical church because that's the church of the poor. So this school opened the doors for us. Also, this school, I go every week. I do a devotional for parents, students, and teachers every Tuesday morning at 7:45. At this school, they teach religion. But the parents get to decide whether they want their kids to go to the Catholic class, the Jewish class, or the Protestant class. That's what they call it. They call it Protestant class. So we're working with a Protestant teacher and a few families. It's a little group, but very faithful. So we're very grateful to God because of this great school. And, you know, there's a word, a phrase that we use in our staff here, all hands on. You know, I remember that, especially Christmas when it's an event that involves the whole church. We always say, all hands on. So here you see Pastor David, when he visited us, he was all hands on. You know, he was carrying things out because we needed to set up and then tear down everything. So he was helping with Pastor Ramon on their first visit to Chile. And he was able to preach at that place back then in 2015, I think it was when they were there. It was a blessing. He was able to see that Champion Forest is going international. You know, so it was a great thing to have him. And when I was telling you about my crew, my morning crew to set up, you know, what do you call it? The blue crew. Well, I also have my blue crew. You're about to see my blue crew right now. Awesome. I have the best blue crew in the world. You know, it's such a joy to see my kids getting involved and understanding what we're doing. And when we came to about a month and a half ago, and we went to vacation Bible school at North Klein, and then we heard Sarah sharing about Chile. You know, she said, I'm a missionary, and we're sharing the gospel, and we're church planters. And I was like, wow. You know, and because it's our calling. God didn't call just me, didn't call just Jessica. He called our family. He called our church. We're all in this together. You're there with us. Every Sunday, every time that we get together, you're there with us. At the beginning, it was so hard to stop talking about Champion Forest. You know, we are so blessed for the leadership we have in this church, what God has given us, and what's coming. I mean, seriously, we haven't even started. What's coming, it's amazing for generations to come. I remember 5-6 years ago, I was just dreaming about my kids going to camp at Champion Forest when they were 2 or 3. Well, they just experienced their first camp, a preteen camp. They were so excited about this. Back in March of 2016, Pastor Jeff Skipper visited us in Chile, and he was there the time when we signed up a lease in a property where we were going to move our church to this house. It's a big house, a big property, and he was there that time visiting us. We took that little picture. He looked a little bit different with the beard, though, right? Alvaro Moraga, he's one of our leaders at the church, a great person. God sent him to put it there, make him part of this story. So now we were just meeting once a week, you know, on Sundays. Now, why only on Sundays? Chile, the minimum working hours per week is 45 hours a week. So people get home very late. So when you invite people for a Bible study at night, they get home around 8. I don't think you want to go to Bible study at 8. So it was very difficult to do activities at church in the afternoon and in the evening. So we started, and this is the place God gave us. Look at that. It's a beautiful place. It's a house. So we converted the living room, it's a big living room, into our worship center. We have all the bedrooms are the live group classes for the little ones. We have about 30 kids. It's awesome. We have so many kids. So the church is growing in that area. A nice kitchen. We have a big baptistry. Okay, it's not a swimming pool. It's a big baptistry that we use as a swimming pool in the summer. All right. Back in March, we started our life groups. You know, that was the first day of life groups. He's one of our leaders, Jaime Valenzuela. He's a life group teacher, just graduated from Southwestern Theological Seminary. He did it online. We encouraged him to do it. He did it. He finished. He will be visiting us pretty soon. We have our kids ministry. And we have a couple that from Mexico. His company sent him to Chile to work. We met them. They had experience. That's the best organized ministry we have at the church, the kids ministry. They are doing an awesome job, and we love Juan Carlos and Sandra. And then we have our woman ministry that Jessica is leading. It's called Between Friends, Entre Amigas. You know, they meet every Thursday at 10 a.m. So it's supposed to be they meet from 10 to 12. But then it's about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and they need to run out to pick up their kids from school. So I guess it's going good, right, when you spend so much time with the girls. Then the men ministry. I was trying to get around how I'm going to get the guys involved in our church. And I remember one thing that Pastor David loves, it's his breakfast with the deacons. I think it's once a month around 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm not sure if he's still doing it. But 4 years ago, he was meeting with the deacons on a Saturday morning, early morning. So I remember that, and we started with this guy's meeting on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock at a gas station where they serve breakfast. It was just to talk about guy things. And so when we got this place, we started our breakfast club. So all the guys, before going to the office on Wednesday morning, they stop by the church. We have breakfast together for an hour. We have a devotional. And you don't even imagine how powerful this an hour breakfast has been for them and their families. their wives are the happiest wives now because, you know, they made the comment and said, you know what, since they started coming to the breakfast, they get home and they're excited. And so good things are happening with our every 15 days we do that on, for the men ministry. And also we have an English school. All this started this year. It's English and Life. We have a girl, Rebecca. She's an English teacher working in Chile in full-time, but also as a service. She's teaching in our school on Tuesday and Thursdays, 7:30 to 9:30. It's open, and it's free for the community. So our first semester, we had about 10 students, and that's another, I call it another congregation that I have on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So we are very busy right now when we got this new place. And this is our congregation today. That's our worship center, if you want to call it. We have about a little bit over 80 people. And it's all God. I give all the credit to God. It's a very multicultural congregation, just like here. You know, we have people from Bolivia, from Venezuela, Colombia, from England, from the United States, from Mexico, Costa Rica, and probably a couple of other countries that I don't remember right now. But one of the greatest things, one of the most excited things that I've experienced in our church is this, our assignment. You know, when he said on Matthew 28, go and make disciples and baptize them. So this is the backyard of our church. And we're baptizing people. And that means that people are coming to Christ. That means that you're making a difference in Chile. Just by being faithful with our church, by being faithful with the calling that God placed in your heart. That probably, he didn't call you to go to Chile. He didn't call you to go to, I don't know, any other country. But you have neighborhood. I love those signs, every sign when you exit the church and it says, now you're entering your mission field. That's awesome. We are always in mission. You know, the Bible says that the eye cannot be the nose cannot be the ear cannot be the mouth. But we work together. And that's what we do. I'm in Chile. He's in North Klein. Pastor Avery will be in Jersey Village. Pastor Vasquez is in Conroe. But we are part of the same body. We are together fulfilling our assignment. And that's why we need to share our story. That's why we need to tell people, and it's not something that you need to come down and write it down and you can say, well, you know what, I get nervous, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do. All you need to do is share your experience, like I did today, just sharing from my heart to yours what God is doing with our church, with our lives, with our kids, with all those families in that church, changing lives. Fulfilling our assignment. That's to go and make disciples. You know, because that's the only way when we say yes, Jesus, that's the only way we're going to be able to spend eternity in heaven. Sharing your story, it's about describing your life before and after you met Jesus. Sharing your story is about what Jesus did, what Jesus is doing, and what Jesus will do in your life. So I want you to reflect today about that. Where were you before Christ? Where are you right now? And where you feel you'll be in the future? When was the last time you invited someone to church? You know, I always ask this question to other believers when they invite me to other churches. When was the last time that someone came to Christ and made a decision because you share your story? It's not only our job as pastors to do that. You got the same assignment. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. Share the good news. Share our story with other people. And that's what we're here for. I hope our story because it's our story. Allow you to reflect in what you're doing with your story and how your story can impact other people. If you're afraid about sharing your story, share your experience. If you haven't made a decision to follow Christ, if you hadn't made a decision to start your story, to start your assignment, tonight's the night. Probably you don't even know why you're here, but you know what? God had a divine appointment with you tonight, right here. Maybe you've been walking, you've been coming to church, but you haven't really been walking alongside with God. But tonight is a night when you can say, you know what, God, I'm sorry. I've been not doing well, just not listening, but I'm about to start working on my story. I'm about to start working in my assignment. I want to see you in heaven. Do you want to see your loved ones in heaven? My mom passed away about a year ago in Chile. I was able to preach her at her funeral. I come from a Catholic family. I'm the only weird one in the family. My dad decided to do a ceremony at the Catholic church, but then I said, Dad, I'm good with that, but at the cemetery, I'm going to do a Christian evangelical service. So I was able to share the gospel with my family, about 100 people, at the same time that I was saying goodbye to my mom. And I hope she got it right with God. She made a decision years ago. She never continued that. But my sister told me that a couple of days ago, before she died, she said, you know what? I'm straight with God right now. So I have that hope that I will see my mom in heaven. So there's always an opportunity to share the good news. And there's always an opportunity to say, here I am. If you haven't made a decision to follow Jesus, to make him your Lord and Savior, if you feel you haven't been walking with Christ, tonight's the night. If you're ready to make that decision tonight, we want to celebrate with you. I will ask our prayer partners to stand up and get ready. We have a friendship room where they will be able to walk you through what that means to make a decision. You know, the Bible says that every time a soul made a decision to follow Christ, there's a party in heaven. And that is our lifelong assignment, so people can come to Christ and spend eternity in heaven with us.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.